Hello everyone and welcome back to The Thing Is with me, Barrow Scanlon, on Alternante FM 98.1 if you're tuning in on the airwaves. This is the fourth installment of the show, and today again I'm joined by another fellow assistant from the United States. So last time we had Rebecca in, who was working in the primary schools, and she was sharing her experience with us about we kind of compared a little bit the differences, but Seth is in secondary level like myself, so I'll let you introduce yourself, Seth. So
cool. Hello everyone, my name is Seth. I'm a current English assistant in Nantes, France, in the secondary level. I work in two schools. It's quite chaotic. And yeah, there you have it.
Okay, and where exactly are you from?
So I'm originally from Washington, D.C., but I currently live in Vermont, which is a small state in the northeast of the country, not far from Quebec.
And what's your background then? Because I take it you studied French.
Yes.
That's what brought you here to France. Can you give me some more detail?
Yeah, so I have a double major. I know Rebecca explained how majors work. In the States, I have one in English literature, which is next to useless. And then I've got another degree in French, but together they sort of make something. And yeah, that's how I ended up here. A professor recommended the program to me because she was like, I can tell that you don't really know what you want to do next year or in the next few years. So maybe try this and think about it. And I was like, that's a good idea.
Yeah, I don't know if we're really, maybe we are actually selling the program really well when future potential assistants listen to the show, if they do, because me and Rebecca said the same thing, that we kind of did the program because we didn't really know what we wanted to do. It kind of gives you a bit of time in between to figure things out, doesn't it?
Sure. And for English speakers who come from countries with really heavy work schedules, coming to France is an awesome opportunity to work less hours and have more time to focus on personal projects and future plans, and also just relax, because it's a country that likes relaxing.
It is indeed.
At any time in the day, really.
So what are the side projects or personal projects that you have got going on, Seth?
I've got a few writing projects, which probably sounds really pretentious on the radio. And I play music, and I like to cook and spend time with my friends. If you do TAPIF and you get lucky, you'll end up meeting a lot of awesome people. And that makes it so that you don't really have that much free time at the end of the week.
That's true. I find people ask me that whenever I tell them about how little that we work. They say, oh, well, what do you do in your free time? And it's kind of hard to answer the question. I mean,
yeah, it's like I wake up, you know, maybe at the crack of noon on Saturday, go to the market, treat myself, go see friends, maybe go to a museum or sit somewhere and drink coffee or just do nothing. Like, that's nice too.
It's a dangerous lifestyle to get used to, I think. I think we're going to get
Yeah. I think re-entry shock is going to be pretty terrible. But for the moment, things are really good.
And you have also lived in France before, like myself and like Rebecca. So last time, where were you in France and what were you doing?
So I wasn't very far from our lovely host. I was in Grenoble, which is about an hour south of Lyon, which is an awesome city tucked behind the mountains. And I studied French, and it was a very positive experience.
Yeah, so I actually thought that today we could maybe have a look at our experience as a student in France and our experience as a salaire, or as someone who's actually earning money in France. Do you find, I mean, there's a 2-year difference, so it was this time 2 years that we would have both been studying. Did you find that very different to come back and work?
Well, I think that at least for 2 years in me, I've made a lot of personal growth. So the experience I've had here this year and the experience I had last year or 2 years ago in Grenoble are very different, but I think the conditions of living are different. For example, when I studied, I stayed with a host family. We did very French things. I traveled a lot, and I was still college age, so I was kind of in the mindset of, let's go have fun. Let's ignore work. All of the above.
Yeah, well, yeah, I feel the same. I mean, you're 2 years older at a time when those 2 years make a big difference in your maturity level.
Sure.
And of course, the cities, I mean, you can't compare them, really. They're two different sides of the country. And
they are. But on another level, at least as a teaching assistant, you have an enormous amount of freedom. And then with that is an enormous amount of obligation. Mm-hmm. For example, with my host family, I didn't need to worry about housing. I didn't need to worry about grocery shopping or cooking or whatever it is. The immigration system in France for those who don't come from the European Union, like, I had to navigate that on my own here. Whereas before, everything was done for me, you know, it was very packaged.
Yeah, I feel like we're kind of left to our own devices this time, which isn't, I mean, to be expected. We are now adults. We are now.
It's great, but it was kind of stressful in the beginning.
Yeah, I mean, especially for you, you had to get your visa sorted.
Sure. I mean, I got lucky. There's people who were less lucky in finding housing and all of that.
Yeah. Okay, so you, this is kind of funny because the exact same thing happened when Rebecca came in 2 weeks ago. The first thing she did was compare the studio, which is really, really lovely, by the way, for anyone who hasn't been here. It's new.
There's
it's
a nice view of like a roof next to me, like a parking lot next to it, but it's sunny. And it doesn't sun. There's never sun here. So,
okay. So of course everything looks nicer in the sun, but, it is quite a nice studio. And what you did was you instantly compared it to a studio that you've worked in before. So what experience have you had with radio?
So for my first year of university, I kind of wanted to try everything. So I got a radio show. And for the entire year, every Wednesday from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m., I had a heavy metal show, which I would imagine was immensely unpopular.
From 6 a.m. to 9 a.m.?
From 6 a.m. to 9 a.m., I played heavy metal every Wednesday. And for everyone commuting on a Wednesday, if you're listening to this, I'm sorry, but I had to.
And did you ever have much, like, audience interaction? I mean, did people ever come up to you and give you comments on the show?
Only if there were people in the studio. Otherwise, there wasn't a way to contact radio DJs. You couldn't call in, for example.
Okay. Well, I mean, in my experience of college radio, I feel like a lot of it, most of the shows don't really have a listenership.
No, I've forced my close friends to listen to it. Yeah,
that's
if,
always
if they were if they're awake before nine. Mm.
That could possibly be what's happening with the show as well.
Well, I don't know what time it airs, but right now there might be like some elderly people out there listening.
Yeah.
Shout out to elderly people.
Mm-hmm, probably my granny is listening.
Probably your granny.
Yeah. Well, I mean, college radio stations tend to be kind of thrown together, and that's the whole vibe, isn't it? Whereas,
I mean, it was thrown together, but it had also been established, you know, 60 years ago. Mm. So all the equipment was old. It was super cool. Like there was wooden racks for all the records, and like we actually had records to play like on the radio, which was pretty cool. Like old turntables.
Yeah, it's I mean, it's kind of an integral part of the student experience as well, isn't it?
Sure, but nothing ever worked in the studio. So, well, that's the flip side, I guess.
We always said that in our station as well at a university, that this is the place to make the mistakes, to do the stupid things, to spill drinks on that equipment, because you can't do that in the real radio universe, I suppose.
And the best part about working at a radio station in a really cold place is when you're doing a live show like we did, and it was you know, negative 20 Celsius out there, negative 30, the antenna would freeze, and then I wouldn't be broadcasting. Like I would still be talking as if I was broadcasting, but the antenna would be frozen, which I didn't think was possible, but it can freeze.
So would there just be dead air until the,
yep.
Okay, that's cool.
Well, the best part is we were 90.1, and there was a 90.1 in Quebec. So when our antenna stopped working, 90.1 from Quebec would reach Vermont, and they probably thought it was us.
That's great.
Yeah.
For those who were listening. Okay, so we were looking at this article recently about, I mean, as English speakers in France, do you find that there's a lot of English words in the French daily speech?
There is an enormous amount of English words in the French daily speech. And then there's a large amount of frustration with the fact that there's a lot of English words and then other influences from English speaking countries like fast food and cell phones and all of the above, sort of flooding everyone's mind.
Yeah. I mean, well, that is the nature of a language like English. It's
It's pervasive.
Yeah, it's omnipresent. It's everywhere. It's unavoidable.
People like it.
But the French are fighting back. So the mm-hmm. Académie Française, I'm sure you know what that is, but for anyone who doesn't, it's basically the, what do we call it? A boys' club of French language purists.
I don't know if it's currently all boys, but there's a strong chance that it's currently all boys.
I think it historically it feels like a boys' club anyway.
But yeah, it serves to protect the French language from dangerous influences and establish concrete conventions and rules that allow the language to function as it does. Whereas in English, we just say, well, I can't say it on the radio, but we just say screw it.
Yeah, you can say that. So their recent kind of siege is against the word smartphone and words like that. And like this word is in most languages now. In Gaelic, we have phone cliste, which literally translates to smartphone. But, I mean, these are kind of... I think it's different when it's a minority language because people, mm-hmm. you know, they feel the need to protect certain domains
of vocabulary. French is not a minority language.
No, not at all. And it is a language that has had a lot of contact with English over the years. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, the English that we speak now is very heavily influenced by French anyway. So
thank you, Battle of Hastings. Shout out to the Battle of Hastings.
Cheers. So yeah, did you have a look at some of the suggestions that they had instead of smartphone?
They did. I don't have a French ear, so I don't know how appealing the words would be to a French listener, a French subject, but for me, a lot of the words that they chose didn't really have a great ring, and French is a language that has a nice ring to it. Yeah.
No, they definitely don't have a nice ring. What were the best ones that they had again?
Audiphone.
Okay, Audiphone. And for
like
those...
a computer phone, you know?
Yeah.
A computer phone. I get it.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
It definitely does.
But it doesn't have a nice ring. Mobile multifunction.
Okay, that's also what it is.
That's what it is.
But it's too long. Anyway, who uses the word mobile and mobile? Mobile, even in English, is very outdated, I feel.
Sure. But the absolute... best option they gave us was probably Terminal de Poche, just because you've taken something that was one word and you made it three words. And you said, replace the one word with the three words, okay?
Yes, but, okay, I mean, in terms of length, it's only slightly longer than smartphone.
Yeah, but it's three words, that's two spaces you're typing. You're a busy man, you're making phone calls, you're trying to... communicate with your clients and you have to type terminal de poche. That's too much of your valuable time.
Maybe they would shorten it down to TDP.
TDP.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, for me, the word terminal, it just sounds like, you know, those tablets that waitresses and waiters have nowadays in restaurants where they tap your order and it goes through to the kitchen.
For some reason. On a side note, I don't like that.
Why?
Shout out to regular menus.
Yeah, but I mean, maybe it saves paper.
It definitely saves paper, but
does it save mistakes?
It doesn't. I don't think it has the same impact as a waiter comes up to you and asks what you want, and then they just record it down and it goes away.
Yeah, I mean, okay, well,
even though in principle it's the exact same thing.
Yeah, well, I don't know if they're actually called terminals, but they look like a terminal. For I don't know. And also, a terminal is like, the word terminal in English, it doesn't exactly, I don't know.
You can have a bus terminal.
Yeah, it doesn't conjure up the image of a mobile phone.
An airport terminal.
Yeah, so, I don't know, we're throwing that one out as well. We're throwing them all out. Would you recommend that the French people stick with smartphone?
Honestly, now that we've been thinking about it, TDP is not bad.
Yeah? You're going with TDP?
Yeah, like, pass me my TDP.
Okay. I mean, the problem I have with this is that even in English, in my everyday conversations, I don't really use the word smartphone. So
right, but TDP is quick. It's quick.
Yeah, okay.
Boom, so it's in your face.
Let's officially on air give that word some status. And
yeah, so tell your friends.
Okay, we'll check out in the next episode if that has gained any traction.
If it's hit the streets, yeah, we'll report back.
Some of the other words that they're trying to eradicate are fake news. Have you ever heard a French person say fake news?
No.
Me either. And I, to be honest, I think they should just say fake news, because that is a word that has been particularly prominent in English language media in English speaking countries like your own.
And just because there isn't a word for it doesn't mean it isn't present in France.
Yeah,
I think
course.
It's present everywhere.
Yeah, but just as a concept, it's something that is become in the public eye through the medium of the English language, and I don't know if it would be very, true to the fake news to translate it.
Sure.
They also have translated dark web to internet clandestin,
which is nice.
Yeah,
it's fine. It's the same thing.
Yeah, I suppose it does.
I think darknet is more ominous.
Yeah, indeed, because
clandestine internet is. I mean, it's secretive. We know it's secretive.
Mm-hmm.
But like, what's going on in there? Is it good business? Is it bad business? It's probably bad business.
Well, you're right. Dark web doesn't really give you any ambiguity there.
No, it's very straightforward.
I think that in certain domains of French life, like business especially, the English words, like there's no point fighting against them. Like the word meeting and management and manager, and I mean, these kind of words are, let's be honest, English is the language of business.
Sure. And business schools in France operate primarily in English.
Exactly.
There are entrance exams.
Yeah. So it's almost hypocritical. Well, maybe none of these Académie Française members have ever been to a business school in France.
No, they've been to the School of Life.
Yeah.
And the School of the French Language.
So if you're listening at Académie de France, although I can't imagine they would ever listen to an English language public radio show, but if you are...
No, we're the problem here.
We're discussing the problem.
Or I guess we're a symptom of the problem.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to have a song. So I don't know if you know the band Devendra Banhart, Seth.
No, but I'm going to.
Okay. Well, this one is called Fig in Leather, so enjoy.
Baby, tell me why everybody gets you, baby. What do you think about when I hear you? What do
That was Fig in Leather by Devendra Banhart. What do you think?
What a song that was.
Yeah, it's a nice song. Okay, so I also, something caught my eye in the news today that Nantes was voted by the local .fr, which is a, I don't know if you're aware of that website, but it's basically a news source for English speakers living in France. So
okay.
What they do is they...
So was Nantes voted best city for English speakers or for French people?
Doesn't actually specify.
Okay.
They do mention something about being an English speaker as well. But yeah, so what they have... I mean, this is one study by one newspaper which has ranked Nantes as the best place to live and work in France. Second year in a row. What do you think? Do you agree?
It's nice. I like it a lot. I think that my personal experience in Nantes has overall been more more awesome and more fun and more fulfilling than the time I spent in Grenoble. And I was much more immersed and occupied while I was in Grenoble. I have a lot more free time here, but mm-hmm. It still feels immensely fulfilling to live here.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that it's... I think it depends on what you're doing, what your line of work is, and where you sure. live, maybe in the city. But yeah, definitely think that it's great.
But I mean, it's sunny today, so we got our sun for the year. There's a lot of bars, there's a lot of restaurants, there's a lot of concerts, and there's a lot of young people. So as a city for young people, I think it's a really awesome option.
Yeah, and I actually just, I feel that the kind of pace of life in Nantes is a bit more relaxed. I mean, mm-hmm. you go into the city center at Commerce and you don't see people running around going crazy trying to get places.
People don't rush here.
No, which is it's quite nice. I mean, I was in Dublin last year, and Dublin is a busy city, very business orientated, obviously, as capital cities tend to be. But yeah, a lot of like arrogant drivers, people pushing you on the footpath and stuff like that. And I don't feel like it's like that here in Nantes.
Oh, well, I will tell you this. Coming from a capital city, having grown up in a city where people hurry, I think that slow walking should be a crime punishable by at least several days in prison, because, you know, you're walking down the street, you've given yourself 15 minutes to walk from your apartment to work. And then there's four slow walkers. They're standing next to each other on the street. And like, what am I supposed to do?
Yeah. Okay.
I can't pass them.
That is the other side of the coin.
But I guess that is the price you pay for being able to sit down and have a coffee at 10 a.m. at work.
Yeah. And I mean, you do walk a lot. So mm-hmm. you are kind of the authority in that.
Though
in the room.
There are no jaywalking laws in France. So thanks for that, France. So you can be in the street if you need to be.
Yeah, I actually find that Nantes is a really good place to be a pedestrian. I mm-hmm. mean, there are huge, huge, vast pedestrian crossings just sure. everywhere in the city.
And there's sidewalks everywhere, which you can't really ask for everywhere in France.
Yeah, and a lot of pedestrianized streets as well. So
sure, yeah.
Yeah, in terms of walking, it's doing pretty well. It was voted, now for foreigners specifically, it was only voted third best city in France.
I think that might be because, though there are many English speakers.
Sorry, second.
There aren't an enormous amount of English speakers.
Yeah.
Whereas in Grenoble, if I walked into a store and I started in French, I would often get a response in English.
Really?
Yeah, and here people play the game.
Okay, why do you think that Grenoble is a more welcome city for English speakers than Nantes?
Grenoble has a very large management school, hearkening back to our conversation from earlier. So everything that supports that school in its entirety is in English.
Okay.
And then on top of that, it's a city that connects a lot of the ski resorts. It connects a lot of that region to the south. And as a result of that, you've got a lot of tourists.
That's true. Yeah, but I felt like, I don't know, for some reason, that Nantes was a more cosmopolitan city than
I think
than
it
Grenoble,
is,
which is surprising.
I think Grenoble is a city which accommodates tourists, and Nantes is a city with many foreigners living in it. But that could be an unfair assessment. I by no means have any statistics.
Well, I mean, you can go by your personal experience as well, but what they've said here in this article on the local .fr is that for English speakers, very easy to find work as a teacher. I mean, yeah.
Check that off.
But a little bit trickier to find work outside of that. So maybe the English speaking kind of business revolution hasn't made it to Nantes yet. And for that reason, English speakers tend to, I mean, most of the English speakers I know in Nantes are teachers or have work in some kind of teaching teaching sector or something.
You know? I think another factor playing into the fact that we know a lot of English speakers is because we are a part of the education system hoping to teach English to the French kids.
So another point that they mentioned is that the rent is considerably cheaper than Paris. I think 60%.
My rent is pretty cheap.
Yeah, so was mine, and it's reasonable. I find that it's a reasonable price. Obviously, when you go to bigger cities, you're going to pay an extravagant amount. But even where I lived in Lyon, I didn't think it was particularly expensive.
I think that cost of living here, at least compared to cost of living in the United States, is much cheaper. Mm-hmm. So even comparing it to other French cities, the ease of living here is much greater than the entire country of the United States, I think. Rent is lower, utilities are cheaper.
Yeah.
I profit from the healthcare system. There's a lot of positives.
And the transport, I mean, I'm not sure. I imagine that, I have the impression that the public transport in the States is not...
It's great. Almost non-existent. Oh, that's not fair. It exists, but even in Washington, D.C., I'm a 40-minute walk from the closest metro stop to my house.
Okay, so yeah, transport, maybe not your strongest point in Washington, D.C., but in Nantes, I definitely think the transport is huge.
Sure, and it's intuitive. It's three tram lines that just crisscross. So yeah. It's super easy.
You have the bike sharing, the buses, and yeah, I think it's really reliable here. I mean, again, comparing it to Dublin, anyone who's listening who's tried to take a bus in Dublin... probably couldn't afford it, or it ended up making you be 3 hours late for where you're trying to get to, which is anyway,
things are surprisingly on time here.
Also, a city of culture. Would you agree with that, Seth?
That I would Nantes say is that Nantes is culture? A city of culture.
What aspects?
Several solid museums.
Okay.
Several great concert halls, and a lot of schools, an enormous amount of schools.
Yeah, there are quite a lot of schools which specialize. I mean, you have some lycée in Nantes which specialize in film, for example. And on that note, film is, I mean, I've been able to really broaden my cinema horizon since I got to Nantes. And yeah, I mean, there's every weekend there's a literature festival or a film festival or
something
going on.
Often focused on non-French media.
True. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. It's quite an international cultural scene. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And actually, this is funny that they mentioned this here because I kind of feel the same. The 20th century wasn't kind to Nantes. Its historic waterways were filled in between the World Wars. So as you probably know, Nantes used to be full of these canals everywhere. And if you look at the pictures, it looks really, really beautiful. I kind of regret that we don't have those. I mean, we probably wouldn't have like most of the roads that we now have, but I don't know. I mean, I think it would have been a much more beautiful city if we had kept the waterways.
I think that's probably true. But I've never seen the waterways with my own eyes. So Nantes as it is, I quite like it.
Yeah.
Even what's left of Nantes before it got blown up in World War II. Even what's left of it is really cool. And then everything that's been rebuilt, is magnificent.
Yeah. It's an architecturally impressive city as well. Okay. So you wouldn't vote it first for best place to live in France then, or?
I would vote it first. Yeah. I'd like not.
Yeah. Okay. Congratulations, Nantes.
You did it.
On that note, then we have to wrap it up. We are going over time. So, any essential advice for an English speaker coming to Nantes?
Seth. Yeah, here's my plug. If you have a chance to be a teaching assistant in France and you have a reasonable amount of patience, it is absolutely worth your time to do. It's only 8 months if you don't like it. And if you do like it, it can be up to 2 years. When you come, it will be frustrating, but you'll figure it out. You have to figure it out.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. That's all I've got.
That's nice. Okay. Thank you very much. And if anyone would like to contact the show, you can do so by going on to the Alternant FM website, and I'm under cultural programs. So you can just fill in the contact form right there.
Cultural.
Yeah. Okay. Cultural. All right. Thanks. And thanks, Seth, for joining me today.
Anytime.
Just back from the mountains. So I don't
know. Indeed.
He hasn't got any snow sunburn, but
I didn't spend enough time on the snow to get a sunburn.
Okay, and that's it from me. I will see you all again in 2 weeks.
All right, goodbye.